This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is KJ Live.
Yeah!
With Chris Johnson. And Chris is having conversations with influencers in the sports world and entertainment industry.
Hey, hey!
Now here's Chris Johnson.
You are now tuned in to KJ Live. Today's guest on the show has been considered one of the foremost authorities in basketball player development. He's worked with over 4,500 clients around the globe, including international, Olympic, WNBA, college, high school, and some NBA athletes. Dorian Lee and his training is rooted in explosive movement, functional movement, quick release shooting, seamless transitional ball handling, explosive play, and explosive finishing. Man, that sounds like a lot. Let's welcome in my man, Dorian Lee is in the building. What's up, D. Lee?
It has been a long time, bro. So it's good. Like I said, it's good seeing you and excited about just having that conversation, man. Like you, we've talked offline about the vibe even years ago. Forward thinkers have this way of connecting. And I knew you were a forward thinker. I knew you had some big things in store, man. So I'm honored, man. I'm gonna have to do the bow down. I'm honored to be on the podcast, my bro.
No, man, I appreciate you for jumping on, man. And blessings, you know, have been bountiful for me and for you as well, man. But I wanted to get you on the pod specifically because just to give the audience a little bit of background, I met D. Lee down in Atlanta around 2005. I think we was at Run and Shoot. So we was at Run and Shoot, and all of my hoop heads out there know exactly what Run and Shoot is. It's over there. What, East Point? Yeah,
I think. Yeah, it was on Metropolitan Parkway.
Yeah,
Stewart Avenue.
Yeah,
it's what spearheaded the revitalization of that part of town, because that town part of town was known for the strip clubs, for the drug dealing and things of that nature. And it was amazing how a basketball facility kind of changed all of that, man.
It was beautiful, man. Run and Shoot had about what, eight, 12 courts, had a barbershop. You could eat, you could lift weights. And so during the course of my workouts, I think I was down there trying to try out for the Hawks or something, but I had met Dorian Lee in the gym and we started chopping it up and we'd be rebounding for each other. We'd be working out a little bit, but we'd be a daily thing, man. And we kind of had this bond and camaraderie, man. Then I didn't see you again for another 20 years. Yeah, for another 15 years, man, we finally reconnected. But I wanted to get you on the show because, man, I love your story. I love your journey. And I love how you express your journey, brother. I wanted to know how you got your start. Where are you from? And how did you get your start in this basketball?
So I'm deep south. I'm from Mobile, Alabama, football country. Vigor High School, where I attended, was actual ESPN national champs in football. So it wasn't a basketball. It's not a basketball part of the country, right? You know, we're Alabama and Auburn, no pro sports teams, major pro sports teams. So, we were kind of afterthoughts, and then you talk about just a little bit to the left in Mississippi, you got your Latario Greens, your Mahmoud Abdul-Raufs, and they were allowed to really play. We were more defensive oriented. People like me were actually shunned who let that ball fly. We were shunned in a sense. So it was a funny place to start in terms of your basketball journey. But, that's where it started for me. I ended up, I led the city in scoring, or second in the city in scoring behind Antonio Lang my senior year in high school. Okay. He went on to play at Duke, obviously Grant Hill's roommate, during that time. So Tony has had an incredible college and professional career in terms of coaching, playing overseas, the whole nine's done a phenomenal job. But I ended up going to JUCO. I didn't have any offers coming out of high school, and not because of the game. I believe, even though I wasn't, in my opinion, when I look back at it, I wasn't that good. I was athletic. I was, explosive. I could score, but I really just didn't have the true understanding of the game. But I had two knee surgeries before I left high school. So people wanted me on crutches to wait, and then we'll try out and whatever. And I was like, nah, man, I want to ink something.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, this was one of the funniest stories ever, but the Laughing Stock Junior College, where we used to joan people that, hey man, you're going to end up going to Bishop State. That's where you're going. You ain't even good enough. Guess where your boy ended up?
Bishop State.
So we were joaning. And man, it was one of the best things ever happened. Letterman scoring my first year, 14 and a half, second year, 19 and a half. Was an all-star selection, had multiple Division I offers. It ended up coming down to a Division I, Division II. So I had Southeast Louisiana, had McNeese State, Western Carolina, but it came down to Western Carolina and North Florida, which is now Division I, but was D2 at the time.
Yeah.
And it was... when you talk about making those decisions, I was in love at that time. So I wanted to be closer to my girlfriend. So I made a decision, a permanent decision on a temporary relationship. And I ended up going to North Florida over Western Carolina.
Okay.
And so that's kind of where it started, man. And I played 1600 points in college, had a decent career, got into it with my coach my senior year, went back to Spring Hill College, NAIA, ranked number four in the country that year. We were loaded. Had a good college experience. And then I was like, you know what, man, I want to make my money doing something else, man. And, it's weird because I already had a child. My oldest daughter is 31 now, and she was small then. And I was like, kind of almost like disenchanted with basketball at that moment, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. You know, I went over to Mexico for a tour, played well, yeah. But my heart really wasn't totally in it at that point, man. So, you know, got back, worked in corporate America for some years, and finally, man, just got to a point. I was a pharmaceutical rep my last stint in corporate America, mm-hmm. and that was supposed to be the cure-all, end-all job. And when I got it, I realized, man, I don't want to work for anybody.
Yeah, it wasn't it.
Yeah, and it was different. So, man, I tell you, I left. I had some real estate. I already had 7 properties I bought by the time I was 25. Mm-hmm. I got in with some business partners in a network marketing company. Nice. And I'm telling you, man, I was like, dude, I'm getting out of corporate America. And I literally left. And, you know, the bottom fell out with the real estate. Mm-hmm. And so I was on a trip to New York. And this guy was sitting at my wedding. It was a wedding event we were at. And sitting at my table was Jay Hernandez that played at Hofstra. He's an assistant coach now with the Charlotte Hornets.
Yeah.
And we were sitting talking, man. And Jay was talking about, look, man, you know, I was talking about going back to play. This is around the time that I met you. A little bit before I met you, 2003, I went on another tour to Austria, a professional tour. Mm-hmm. And I was heading there. And when I was talking to him about it, he was saying, like, why don't you come up and work out with me? And so I'm from Alabama, work out to me. I'm like, man, I lift weights. What you talking? You know, he was like, no, like player development. Man, listen, I had never even heard the term player development. Right. We just didn't have either. You had a dad who could do it or you found it in the streets and you just made the best of it. And we just didn't have people who were putting people through drills and explaining the game. And I went up that week, took a long train ride, countryside, New York, to get to Long Island. I mean, it was about 4 inches of snow during this time. And, you know, we got an Island Garden. You know, we got some work in, and I learned more from an individual standpoint how to frame stuff in 1 week than I had my entire basketball career, right? And so I went over to Austria, killed it. I mean, averaged probably 29 for the tour. I mean, just had a phenomenal tour. Had offers from Lithuanian teams, some German teams, a couple of Austrian teams. But they fell through, and I just took it as a sign, man, you know what? I just need to do something else.
Yeah.
And it was a weird kind of feeling because I had a big gap between corporate America when I went to Mexico, the gap in corporate America, and then back to Austria, man, that was about a 10-year, 8-9-year journey. So I was 31 when I went to Austria. Wow. And so one of the issues was, you know, his age, you know, yeah, he's really, really good, but can we get a younger player for, you know, less money?
Yeah.
That thing. So I came back and I said, you know, I'm going to set up shop and run and shoot. And you remember, I don't know that all the times you came, but it was such a jungle, like meaning like a real jungle.
Yeah.
So I started in that, man. And I'm telling you, bro, it was people will walk on the court while you're training. And yo, bro, you didn't get permission to set up shop in our town. What's up with that? And da da da. So I had to deal with that and maintain professionalism. You know, I had the college shirts. I had the logo. I was the first to really kind of bring a level of professionalism to that inside of run and shoot. And from there, man, it really grew. I mean, I was super athletic then. I was still 3'6". So I had a flair for the presentation.
Right.
And so it really drew a lot at that time. And then the rest became reputation. And I've grown throughout the years a lot. When I look back then, you know, you realize how much you didn't know. And then as you move forward, you're like, man, you know what? I've come a long way in the game.
Man, I'll tell you what, man, brought back a lot of memories when you mentioned run and shoot in the jungle, because I remember, man, I was at run and shoot. I come in the gym, you know, I'm nobody. I won a national championship. I had done some stuff at UCLA, Pac-10, you know, whatever. Absolutely. But I walk in the building, it's like, they look at me up, like, who's you, dog? Like, you know, who's this light skin, curly hair? You know, with all that type of stuff. So then,
absolutely.
But the thing I love about basketball, D-League, is if you got game it automatically endears this respect.
I'm telling you, man.
No matter where you at in the world. So it don't matter. So it felt like a joke at first, but after a couple weeks, you know, on first name basis with everybody, it's all good. You walking up.
We got light skin. Yeah. We got
Let's
Chris.
Go. Let's get it. Let's get it. And there's no greater feeling than that. The other thing I wanted to touch on, something you said at the outset, just talking about where you're from, where your roots are from, that area, Alabama, Mississippi. I remember when I was growing up, you mentioned Chris Jackson, the guys that it was a bunch of Mississippi dudes also.
Lindsey Hunter, Chris Jackson, a guy named Alfonso Ford, bro.
You know who Ronnie Henderson is? Bro, okay. Bro. Jesse Pate. Okay. Othella and them.
Murrah High School, homie.
That whole crew. I played with Ronnie Henderson. We flew Ronnie Henderson out from Mississippi, came out to LA, bro, and he played on our team. So I kind of got, and I was 16 years old.
Dumb bounce.
And one of the coolest cats of all time. I tell you what, the brothers down from Alabama, Mississippi, man, when you just a different type of person down there, salt of the earth, real cool, solid individuals, unbelievable sense of humor. But that I thought about that too. And the other thing I thought I wanted to ask you about all this, how serious in your mind was the NBA? Because you kept it going, man. And I know as for me, I always had the NBA. So I'd go to Timbuktu to hoop. I'd go to Madagascar to hoop because I say, hey, that's a job. That's giving me an opportunity. I put on my resume and say I played somewhere last year. I did, you know, because it's, you know, so for you, how serious was the NBA in your mind as a goal, my brother?
I really didn't have a plan B. And for many people, if you go to my hometown, and I think most will attest, everybody just felt, because the way I loved it, mm-hmm. that I would fill the gaps from a talent and an IQ standpoint, and it would just happen. And when I look back on it, I had so many opportunities, man. But when you have such poor counsel, and when I mean by poor counsel, that means bad counsel. It means that people don't know.
Didn't know.
Right? Like what I'm able to do now, Chris, when I can literally get on the phone and get you a job, whether it's an agent involved or not, or I can get you the right agent for your tier of player. I had no idea of that. I came and worked out for an agent in Atlanta in 96, loved me, told me, look, you sign with me now. I'm going to take you on these tours, right? I'm going to pay you about $300 a week, blah, blah, blah. And I'm sitting here like a dummy, listeners to somebody who doesn't play saying, oh, you can make that at McDonald's. Why are you did it? But it's not the same. It's not the same. And I said, no, I got to pay this car note. I got the baby. And nobody would say, D, you trust me. You got this talent. Mm-hmm. You got the talent to play a long time.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Every time I walked in, run and shoot. Right. And if anybody says it's not true, it's lying. People always ask me, man, so where'd you play last year? Where you coming from?
Yeah.
What country?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because that's the type of work I used to put in. And so it's the talent was there, but the advice, man, it's that counsel is so utterly important, man, for young folks to really be able to seek expert counsel versus, you know, and I'm going to say this. Think about this from a, you know, because of the leagues you've played in, that this is not the same as all other businesses, right?
Absolutely.
So people will tell you, oh, they offered you $4,000. Chris, see, you worth more than that. See, that's something you do as an IT consultant.
Yep.
You can't do that in basketball because you got to know, maybe that's the market that year.
That year.
Not your value, but the market.
That you know, year. Yep.
That year. Yep. Right. And so four this year might really have been nine last year. And then next year, that four might be 12 based on the economy and certain markets, the mm-hmm. global economy, a lot of things. But again, without that expert counsel, bro, it's just you're just not going to get it.
But you made a really great point about being able to direct a player to the right agent for his level, because a lot of times cats get with agents that are too big for them and then they become an afterthought. But then if you get an agent that specializes in getting guys like yourself, your particular, whatever your skill set is, whatever you get, maybe you're undersized, an undersized four. and my guy's been able to get cats jobs in Australia or whatever, because a team likes these type of guys because that coach is on that type of system. You feel me? And so that to me is one of the most important parts about just today's basketball culture, Dorian, is surrounding yourself with the right people. You know, I bring folks on, NBA guy, ex-NBA guys, and that's what they tended to kind of lean and talk about. Because I asked them the question of, you know, if you could tell yourself, you could talk to a 16-year-old, say, I had Darrell Wright on, and he was like, you know, I would tell, you know, he'd tell himself just to listen to the right people and just to stay locked into the right stuff. And I feel like a voice like yours, D. Lee, and the way you lead by example as well, you're somebody that I feel like it's easy to follow. It's easy to listen to a brother like you. It's easy to trust someone like yourself. Now, you can't trust everybody, okay? But you can, you know, I feel like you're somebody that, you know, folks can kind of listen to. But, man, I want to talk about some high-level basketball stuff, because that's one of the major reasons I got you on this show, bro, because I love the way that your perspective and the way you think about things. So my first question for you on that level is the old school versus new school thing. So my thing has always been about the old school was the style of play and the context, so the rules of the game, and whether or not an old school guy would have a hard time playing today. It kind of started with Charles Oakley saying that stuff about Giannis and Giannis being a role player. Mm-hmm. Taking Giannis today and putting him in the 80s, he'd be a role player. What is your opinion on comments like that? And what is just your overwhelming thought about taking new school guys who've grown up playing without without our level of physicality and putting them back in the old school? How would they do?
So I'm going to say this. I'm going to say that we got two things that we have to do to frame this correctly. Number one, we always talk about when a game would be played, right? Mm-hmm. So if we're talking about bringing someone back to the 80s, 90s, 70s, we also have to erase YouTube, television contracts, specialized training, blah, blah, blah. Now let's see where they are. If we talk about moving Oscar Robertson up, now we got to talk about specialized training, YouTube, synergy, being able to watch all of this stuff, the number of AAU games. Now we're moving them forward. So what I know for a fact is that true greatness is transcendent. Mm. Some greatness is situational, it's timing. But true greatness, Pistol Pete would have had everything that Nash had 10 years later, because the style would have adapted. See, when we talk about pre-N1, post-N1, you can see the shift in the style of handling, right? It was more outside of the frame of the body, where back in the day, it was taught to be tight, keep it tight. You know, everything, like you watch KJ, Kevin Johnson, man. Kevin Johnson used to be on top of it. His back was arced.
Yeah,
because he leaned over the ball so much, but it was like quick hit. But Kevin Johnson in space now with the style of play, bro, that's an all-star guard with his athleticism.
Absolutely. He was an
all-star then. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
So that for me, we have to talk about that. So how would they have fared? It's players that would have transcended all levels. And it is some players today that would have figured it out based on what they're built like. So for me, LeBron is a big hot topic, right? I think LeBron, when we start talking GOAT, we enter another level of critique, right? So we can't critique him like an average player. He's in the GOAT conversation.
Yeah.
So how does he stack up against other GOATs? Right.
Yeah.
So when you look at LeBron from a mental toughness standpoint, right, I don't know, would he have been much different than Karl Malone? Insane career, insane statistics, numbers out the roof, was arguably one of the best at his positions. But when it got down to the nuts and bolts, he struggled in situations. So worst case scenario, LeBron is Karl Malone, right? That in my opinion, right? Move MJ to this era, right? Because I'm going to keep going back and forth. So now we got LeBron back today, and let's move MJ up. But MJ with the same pedigree, upbringing, brothers whooping on him, you know, all of those situations. And Jordan in space with 6'4 at the rim, 6'6 at the rim, 6'8 at the rim. I just think it's ungodly the type of numbers with the level of competitiveness, right? Yeah. If he kept the same mindset, now no one convinced him to take games off, what do you call it? Not time management, but
load management.
Load management. All of those terms that, you know, the man played 82 games 9 times. You know, Stockton played 82 games like 12 times, 10 like, something
come
crazy.
On. Come on, like, man.
Like crazy. So those are factors too, right? And just the basic science. So at the end of the day, I believe what I said the other day on the post that got me lambasted. And it was so short because I like doing reels. You know the algorithms, the reels get greater views, whatever. So it is a science behind it. But I had to cut some pieces off. So when I made the National Wrestling Basketball Association comment, they were like, that don't make sense. People used to wrestle more and file back in the day. I was talking about entertainment.
Yeah.
So it's the matchups. It's Hulk Hogan versus The Rock.
And yeah.
You know, and they pounding on each other. But then after the thing, all the blood was fake. All of it. It's more of a show now than it was. And when Adam Silver came out a few years ago, Chris, and said that this is an entertainment league and we have to evaluate what helps the entertainment value. When he actually uttered those words from his mouth, I knew that the game had officially changed. Stern never said entertainment. He continued to call it a sports league, the sports industry.
Absolutely.
But once we went to entertainment, Chris, that it changed. So old school players, better players, new school players, more skilled, but don't know necessarily how to deploy that skill in game situation.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you, something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I can respect that look. I can respect that explanation about it. My feeling is something along the lines of that. I didn't go as deep as you did, which was a great point about thinking about all the video that a player could watch. You know what I'm saying? If they came from this era going back, et cetera. So, no, that's a great point. Well, something I was wondering, when you say the entertainment value, I think we saw something the other day that kind of, you know, captures that mood amongst the current day NBA fan. Marcus Smart, Celtics Warriors, Marcus Smart dives for a loose ball. Steph Curry doesn't dive, stands up, looks at it. Smart gets the ball.
Lollygagging.
Marcus Smart first to the floor, secures the basketball, and then you had just a ton of just backlash. Because, good look, nobody wants Steph Curry to get hurt. Nobody wants anybody to get hurt. But also, we don't want playing hard to be taken out of the game. We've seen it with the NFL where they've made some rule changes, and I don't know if it's better for the league or not, but it's just not the same NFL. You had people talking about they need to take out diving for loose balls from the game. They said that needs to be taken out, D-Lee. What are your thoughts on that, man? And just as far as this, it goes back into this entertainment aspect. Let's preserve our stars. One more thing on that. I felt like if that was CeeDee Osman or somebody else diving, that was Steph Curry in that position, reputation, nobody would have cared.
Reputation.
No one would have cared. What are your thoughts on that, bro?
I think you, first of all, I don't even have to say anything. You literally put it the way it was. Now, hate occurs when you call stuff the way you see it. Steph was lollygagging. He didn't make a really strong effort. Second thing, part of athleticism is understanding your body in space. I can sense when somebody is kind of about to undercut me. I lift my legs. Some of that has to do, Chris, with not playing hard. How many times did MJ get hurt? How many times did a lot of our players in the old NBA get hurt, and they were playing way more games, so much more load.
Yep.
But they also knew when and where. They knew if they were going to go for a ball, they were going to go for it. If they weren't going to go for it, they weren't going to go for it. Mm-hmm. Smart was playing hard, I thought. And I love – the thing I hate is that I love Kerr and I love Steph.
Yeah.
But Kerr, you ain't got no right. I know that looks good for media that you taking up for your guy.
That was the issue.
But Marcus Smart did the right thing. Reputation-wise, Marcus has gotten into some stuff. Now, they should have been talking about the kick on the other end when he tried to block.
That was the real – hey, that was something. I can't defend that, bro.
If you want to talk about one, you almost kicked the dude in the face. That's the one we ought to be talking about. We talk about something that was just a basketball play. I have an issue with that part of the game right now. The basic tenet of basketball, the basic tenet of sport is competition, is competing. 3-point doesn't make the game change. Ease of movement rules don't make the game change. Dumping it to the post back in the day, that wasn't what makes the game different. What makes the game different now is that players don't compete. They play hard sometimes. Now, playing hard and competing aren't the same thing. Russell Westbrook has always played hard. He hasn't always competed. Competition.
What's the difference?
Playing hard is energy expenditure. I hook electrode to your neck and your heart rate at your 8,000, you know, your muscle output, force output is at 20 million. All of that is great. But was I tactically using it to win? Was I coming up with ways strategically to beat my defender with the IQ and physicality versus just raw physicality? That's playing hard with no aim, rhyme, reason for what you're doing. So that's the difference between playing hard and competing. And that's what's missing, in my opinion, in today's game. And maybe I hear the excuse, Chris, and you tell me what you think about this. I hear the excuse. The excuse is they play AAU together or whatever, right?
Yeah. Right. So they don't have it in.
I got some of my boys who they'll listen to this. You know, serve some time in some nice government housing for a second, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And when we were growing up together, these were my best friends. I'm talking about we would fight together. We would go together. We walk to the gym. But guess what we would also do? We would fight each other. So even though we were that close, the game of basketball, we wanted to win against each other probably even more than some stranger, because that's who I'm going to hear it from the most. But now it's more like this, you know, you see LeBron dunk on Kevin Love, and they
Love. Have
a whole bromance off of a dunk.
Yo, I can't believe some of this. Look, I we go. People gonna be like, y'all are some old fogies, but
hey,
I cannot believe some of the stuff I see happen on the basketball floor nowadays in the NBA. Like that move that K Love, when he ran over to Bron and did the headlock move. I was just like, damn, this is really a new league. And it goes to your point, man. When someone says something is more about entertainment, that means that we should not take the competition side of things as serious. And that, to me, that takes away from everything. Do you think that this generation is less competitive? I like the AAU thing, but here's something else that I'm just going to throw out there. Because you know how these kids, they grow up, they playing video games against each other all day.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you're not competitive, are you using all your competitive juices for Call of Duty and for Madden? And so when you get on the court, it's like, nah, forget you. I'm going to see you when we get back to the house on the COD. This one-on-one is not really what matters, because we didn't have all that to hang our hat. We had the one-on-one matchup that we were like, yeah, I beat him.
Let's think about it. That's a beautiful point. Think about it in its totality. So you and I, we haven't really seen each other in about almost 20 years, like 18 years, right? And if we follow each other online or we're friends on Facebook, we feel like we've been in front of each other that much. Mm-hmm. So it's a virtual world that distorts like the real world. So mm-hmm. What you're saying is highly plausible and probable.
Yeah, we need to look into it.
Highly plausible and probable that a lot of that is in a virtual world. So, and it's also a safer world because it's no real embarrassment. It's nobody spectating. It's more embarrassment in an open forum. So maybe part of that social media going viral, people stay away from moments that could put them in unfavorable light. That's why I respect those that don't mind getting dropped and hop right back up and defend. Yes, I'm always applauding that dude.
Yeah,
who didn't care about going viral or playing a little cool defense. And I don't really want, you know what I'm saying, I ain't going to get hurt type defense.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of that is some truth in that, bro. I think mm-hmm. a lot of that competitive nature is being eaten up in other ways. So
where do you think Steph Curry ranks as far as all time, and not just guards as players?
I get killed for this.
I want to hear it. I want to hear it.
I think you have to delineate certain things in basketball. And anytime you delineate timelines with a player, like I said, pre-AI, post-AI, right? You know, pre-Jordan, post-Jordan, pre-Magic, mm-hmm. post-Magic.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about, you know, pre-Steph, post-Steph. Right. And then we got a lot of people who, oh, man, but, you know, other teams were doing it. You know, Donnie Nelson was doing it, but it was also a frowned upon type of play at the time.
Right.
He really has revolutionized the fact that skill is now about to, for the first time in years, is about to trump athleticism in an NBA. Athleticism has always trumped skill to a certain extent, because we've seen highly skilled players that had to spend years in Europe because they weren't the prototypical. They weren't 6'6", two guards. You remember when it was 6'6", two guards?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, it was, you know, Magic came and everybody's a copycat leader. Everybody wanted 6'9".
The big then, one.
You know, then they got back to the small guards after folks like Damian was hurting, you know, hurting Jordan's ACLs when he was crossing and hitting. So it's always a copycat league, man. But, you know, I think Steph is, and this is a tough, he's a top five impact player in league history. But it's not five players that I would say, okay, I need a shot or I need for one game where I would pick him over. But he's top five in terms of impact on the game ever.
You think Steph would have been, and I'm going to get back to that particular question as far as impact, because I have something about Mark Jackson I wanted to add. But do you think Steph would have been just as effective in the era of the armbar, in the era of, the Jordan rules, where, say, the Pistons have the Steph rules, and, you know, guys were clotheslining you, and then it had to do with your mental fortitude as a man now. It's beyond basketball. That's where D-League. And this is where I feel like it gets discounted. And I don't want to sound like we were just a bunch of brutes running around like savages trying to chop people's heads off. But there was a part to the game when we were playing where physicality was definitely something that you had to take into account because it messed with your game. Yeah. So talk to me about Steph in particular.
Let me tell you about his particular makeup.
Yes, sir.
His mentality. I think he would have, first of all, his scoring, he would have been a 18, 19 point a game, potentially a guy if he still shot the ball well. I think he would have, because he does have the mental fortitude, I think he would have adapted to that style of play. I think he's sneaky tough. Now, I don't know if his body would have withstood the pounding. So what you would have is a guy who in that era would have shown, okay, this kid is tough, can play, but he had been a Brandon Roy in an earlier era because he would only shown a couple of years of it and probably would have been injury prone just based on the way he's constructed, right? The style that he plays, because he has to get a lot. You got to remember, at his size, he has to get a lot to do a lot to get a lot.
Yes.
So he can score 38, but man, if you break it down, that meant 38 points. He probably came out, no lie, maybe 60 screens over the course of a game, whether they're on ball or off ball. He took probably 60 to 70 dribbles in a game. So imagine that load every night. And remembering that wasn't the style of play then. He couldn't beat the ball that much, right? Even when you see Isaiah beat.
Yeah, it wasn't as many dribbles and as much time on the pill.
It's different, man. So I think Steph, I might be one of the few that think Steph would have been okay. He's not dominant in that era. He's Mahmoud.
And here's what I'm going to say about how those guys. So as much as I say, you know, they would struggle, I feel like they would struggle. But then there's also this thing, and talking to a lot of basketball people, there's also this thing about adaptation. D-League, you know as well as I do, as a ball player, when you go into a situation that's a little bit above your pay grade, if you will, after a day or two, you figure it out. And then you just start feeling like this is nothing. And wait a minute, everything slowed down. And I know you've had those moments, because I've had those moments, and it's been against NBA guys. So I feel like Steph is the kind of guy, and a lot of these guys from this era, they'll go back into that time. They'll get beat up maybe the first week of practice. But I feel like they're going to, because they're ball players at the end of the day, and they're ball players. They're going to adapt, adjust. And I feel like that they, man, with that skill set, like a Giannis in that back then, or Steph, even Steph. And let's say he cuts down the combos from the 9 to the 5 and sometimes the 3. You know,
Yeah, I think he might be a dub. I think he'll ball.
The only issue he would have in that era, one of the things that I hung my hat on, and I still do, I teach all of my players, every one of them, I don't care if they 5'8", 5'9", 6'7", can all shoot over the top. Like, we are shoot over the top experts. Like, I don't care what length in front of us, we can get the shot off. Mm-hmm. Steph can't shoot like that. Mm. Kyrie, on the other hand, has the ability. So Kyrie needs very little space. Steph can't go over. He has to go around. He has to get you to go back. He has to create that type of separation. Kyrie plays with people, but Kyrie needs literally one or two dribbles, just a little bit, and his shot release allows him to get those shots off. So I think Kyrie would, man, he's the transcendent any level, any era type dude.
I think he's the most skilled player in basketball history. The most, as far as the most skill ever.
You think so?
No, I'm asking you. Do you think so? Man, I haven't seen a guy. So when I say skilled, all right, I have to think about, I like the size. So if you're 6'10 with a handle, that's a high value of skill. If you're that size and you're able to not only handle, another part of skill is finishing, and you're able to finish like Kyrie without hops, okay. You see he does not get off the ground on some of these finishes.
He's decent.
No, you're right. No, you're right. Because I seen him do the little a couple of times. But, D-Lee, but I'm not sure I've seen somebody finish in such tight spaces or get through as many as tight spaces as he's able to get through and then recover.
But let me say this. I think we are watching it now.
So we're prisoners of the moment.
Yeah, I really do. Because I've seen Nash do some stuff, man. Like, even the passes in tight areas.
Yeah.
And that's a skill.
Yeah. Right?
Kyrie doesn't have. Now, when we talk about on the ball offensive skill, all right, the question is, and this is what I posed on this long thread about that, right? What is aesthetically pleasing doesn't mean that it's functionally better. Hmm. Better is situational, mm-hmm. right? So I use the analogy of having a car. So you got a, you know, I'm old. I got a 1971 Mercedes. You got a 2022, right? We're heading to Mobile, my hometown. I take the shortest route driving 70 miles per hour. You take the longest route driving 55. Who gets there first, right? So it's not, now one gets there in probably more comfort, Bluetooth, stereo, Bose.
GPS.
But the ultimate thing is I'm using it today to get to a destination.
Back.
So if it's a guy who can only dribble with one hand only, right? And can never be forced off of his line, can go to any spot he wants, can finish every time, even if it's only on the right side, because he can get to the right anytime he wants. Isn't he not as equally skilled as a Kyrie, even though it doesn't, you said, well, he can't do his left. Does he need to? His right is his left because he can't be stopped. So I keep thinking along these lines. Now, the last one too isn't skill also about proficiency with efficiency? So you and I work a job. You the new guy. You just coming off Wharton Business School. You got all the technical knowledge. This, you smarter. You know the new ways to do it. And we both start a task. And I've been there so long, I know the shortcuts. I get done with the task in 20 minutes. You do more technically sound, beautiful business theory type stuff. But it takes you 10 hours to accomplish a task.
No, sir.
Who is the most skilled?
You.
Now, to the public, oh man, this dude way smarter than the old head, but the old head gets it done. So I know that's a long roundabout way, but it's how we frame
better and what's better.
Better,
yeah.
What is better?
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you, something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Now, listen, if we want to talk about what's the most beautiful games ever, Jordan, Kyrie, period. Jordan's game is still, I show it to my kids, and it's just like, what? And like, no one has done the finishes he's done.
Where does Kobe stand in beauty of game, in sheer beauty, D. Lee?
Because I'm an athlete. He's a little bit behind MJ, okay. But MJ was just a better athlete than Kobe. Mm. So it's tiers to this. So you got world-class, excellent, above average, good.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So this is how good can elevate to above average in the right surrounding. Above average can elevate to excellent in the right setting. Excellent can venture into world-class at moments. But world class, every shot, every second, every cut, every jump, every lay is world class. So Kobe was an excellent athlete. Excellent. And ventured, we saw some of the dunks and plays. He ventured into world class. But he didn't have world class every single jab, every single whatever. MJ, I'm just every single thing he did was a world-class athletic type. It's just a difference in his athleticism, man, than we've ever seen.
Facts. No question. Let me ask you this. Does it seem like there are less traveling and carrying violations in today's NBA than there were in the past? And if it does, is that a matter of guys are actually better at handling the rock, or is this a situation where the refs or have loosened up this sort of?
I was on the phone with one of my good friends, the NBA ref, yesterday, man, and we're you know, I was joining him because I was at a game the other night. A good friend of mine from France came here, loves Dominique, so I introduced him to Dominique. We got the jersey signed. It was a really big deal for him because he's always his favorite player. And my boy Sean was calling the game, so I'm heckling, get man, make a better call, Sean, make a go away, make a better call. And so we were just laughing on the phone about no one's, and I've said this 100 times, like if you go back in any of my posts historically, I've said no one's read the rule book. I've argued with NBA guys that I've played. Stop telling me where to travel. You've never read the rule book. And they, oh man, I played too. I said, answer my question. Have you read the rule book? It doesn't matter. I know you act like you're the only one to play. Have you read the rule book? No, you haven't. So what happens is people started to stretch certain things that let me help y'all with violations. If it's not specified in the rule book, it is not a violation. No matter how goofy it looks, funny it looks, if it's not specified. That's why we keep thinking black and white is black and white, but it's actually gray. Not just gray, but you can paint it. It's like law. How many times in law, when you go to the courtroom, you've seen a Johnny Cochran paint a picture of black and white. Mm. Paint a picture of black and white that convince somebody, man, this glove don't, he didn't kill him. Glove don't fit, bro. Ain't no way he killed. You see what I'm saying? Bro, listen, we just are so caught up into aesthetically, it's easy. How things look.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, man, I'll say something so simple. So I did a long, I'm going to send it to you after this, you know, I'm going to send it to you. But okay. I did a long thing on travel violations, right? And I took you back to James Naismith when he first started. And he had 13 original rules. Originally, it was 9-on-9 on half the size of an NBA court. Now, you could only take, first you couldn't take a dribble. You had to pass it. But then he added one dribble and you couldn't shoot off the one dribble. It was only to get a better passing angle.
Yeah.
So he realized though over time, these were arbitrary. This was not the Ten Commandments from Mount Sinai that came down. This is a dude in a class trying to come up with something that's going to have his kids entertained during the winter months.
Absolutely.
Do you know why the goal is 10 feet?
Why?
Because the balcony at the YMCA is 10 feet. That's where they hung the peach basket.
Yes, sir. Wow.
It was no science, like based on height.
Yeah.
It should be 11. It was no science. It was arbitrary. Right? Yeah. So what I'm telling people, when you start talking about being a purist in the rule, they need to do it the way the rules were set up. Nah, bro, you don't want to go back to 9-on-9 on a half a court. We're taking one dribble. How bad would the game be?
One dribble.
Right? Horrible. So folks realize that if I bounce a ball out and I take my hands off, how does that count in towards a dribble? And I catch back up to it. But what if I do the same bounce out and instead of letting it completely go, let it ride in my hand and spin? It's a centrifugal force, right? This is science to this. When we talk, I talk principles. So don't tell me that I'm guiding it, but I haven't controlled it, right? I'm guiding, but that people could say, "Oh, that's the same." You know, that's semantics. But it's a difference between gathered. So think about this from a travel standpoint: tuck it to the body, put both hands on it, get my hands under it, right, or palm it. Those are the only way that a ball can't return to the floor legally. If I'm not doing any of those things, then that ball's live. and I can take 8,000 steps between it. I can take 8,000 steps, let it hang, then pick it up after the 8,000 steps and take two more. It's all about the way we frame it. And I was getting lambasted back in the day. People would come over, man, you're teaching a bunch of BS. And I mean, really use that bullshit, like say it.
Yeah.
Like that bullshit, you teaching these kids all this stuff. And I was like, man, I just knew, like, why isn't this legal? Why would this be, you know, my hand's still on top of the ball. I can skip into a shot. So why can't I skip and then pick it up and do a jump stop and lay it up? Right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. The way you thought about the game, bro, it's always fascinated me, because it's like when you would just be like sitting there. I remember watching you just trying to work on stuff and like counting stuff out. Like you would be, I'd be watching you over in the cut, like, what is he over there doing? But you was like, you know, you'd be counting your steps, doing your 1-2s, and you were real scientific about it, man. I guess a lot of us, a lot of ball players, don't read the rule book. I think that should be at an early age one of the first things that we give to you. Is the actual rule book and test them.
Why wouldn't you though?
Because
that's crazy.
And nobody does. But that's the wild part is nobody does. You're one of the first people that I talk to about basketball that talks about what's in the actual rule book. Because we feel like we have such a grasp of all basketball rules because we've played it so much and this and that. You've been through so many situations when in fact you really don't. You almost don't really know.
And remember where you got it from. You got it when you started. You started at a lower level, YMCA, rec ball, whatever. And someone said, oh, that's a travel. And you were like, okay. You never questioned. You used authority
to validate
the way that you framed everything from that day forward.
Yeah. And like, I was always like, so the new moves that kind of came on and gotten popular the last decade or so, from the Euro to the sidestep, you know, that little sidestep jumper everybody does instead of the straight pull up. I used to think that those were traveling, or I used to have issues with those. But then I started to understand and I actually looked it up. You know, I was like, oh, wait a minute. That's not. You can actually do this. So I think that you doing that is an excellent thing. I wanted to flip back, though, to Steph and Clay and ask you kind of I have a theory. Right. So they say Steph and Clay changed the game as far as threes because their ability to shoot, knock down high level efficiency, proficiency. I say Mark Jackson changed the game because he allowed those two to do so and not get pulled out the game. D Lee, can you comment on and just help this next generation understand that there was a time when you couldn't shoot that stuff?
bro, I was just talking to a friend. He said the same thing, man. He said it's ridiculous how far they pull. It's cool he can make the shot, but he missed one of them, he'll be coming out. So you got to think about me. Like, I averaged 20, 19 and a half in JUCO my second year. I had a high game of 43, highest game in the state that year. And it was you just got to be hot that night. Because anything else that you do that a coach doesn't like, he's going to make. I'm going to tell you, this is a true story, right? We had, and I was real big about performance then, man, and my gear. So my coach, rest his soul, entered into a contract with ASICS. This was the first year they made basketball shoes. And they not only looked like wrestling shoes, they had hard rubber bottoms. Our court was a rubber floor in JUCO. So it was like literally, it was, and I'm not joking, it was no grip. So I got another pair of black Nikes and I wore them, right? And I got a white pair of pumps, David Robinson's, and I wore them in the game. And I went through now remember, I averaged 19 and a half of the season, but had about 11 game stretch where I averaged only about 10 points a game because he was benching me. Because I wore different shoes, colors, right? But I had the grip, and he never asked us, like, what feels good for you?
Yeah, he didn't care.
What does this work? How does this work? When I went to North Florida, we had K-Swiss.
Ooh.
And guess what I had on by the middle of the season? Jordans. I had some J's, Olympic editions. And that's what I played with the rest of the way. So, again, coaches didn't really take into consideration what the player needed, wanted, what made them more confident? Because ultimately what we're getting to, Chris, and what you're asking is everybody, and it pisses me off because how many folks, Dennis Scott was shooting that deep at Georgia Tech. You know, I remember he was in Cameron Indoor and D. Scott was shooting from 26-20. And I was like, this nowhere close to the line.
Facts.
And just imagine, he did a little bit in the league, but imagine Bobby Crimmins, which let him shoot that deep. But just imagine you just being encouraged all the time, man. It stretches the defense. It makes them have to come out further. You got more space. Like the concept.
What a world to live in, D. Lee.
You said, but I agree. I will go ahead. I will say, all right, I can see Mark Jackson changed the game by allowing them to do it.
It was amazing at the time when Mark Jackson came out and said that this was perhaps the greatest shooting backcourt in NBA history. It's amazing to see all the people that really looked at him like he was stupid. You know, they, you know how they do. You know how they
I
do.
I love how he said it too. He didn't say no, not potentially.
No, they are.
They're the best shooting backcourt that this game has ever seen.
And to be so spot on, but never to really receive the credit, I feel like I'm always use my platform to shout out Mark Jackson because he's responsible for something that truly changed a generation of basketball. And now we see a totally different NBA because of it. Let me get your vantage. I got a lot of stuff to do today. I wanted to get one more thought from you because I love your point of view and perspective. What are your thoughts on just all the denigration of LeBron James, despite
his accolade?
What we would look at as an unbelievable, phenomenal career. Why do you think there's just so much negativity and denigration?
I think one of the main reasons, man, and LeBron has shown front running tendencies. And I think it bothers people that, you know, you stockpile, you. Now hold up. Let's frame it a little differently. You say he's received a lot of criticism. But he's also received more excuses than any other star in history. Like, oh, man, his team's bad. But they used to always put up every season, they would put up a directive with all of the faces of the team that he's about to start the season with. Who's beating this roster? We run into the chip. By mid-season, all these bums, none of them can play. He ain't got no help, right? That's front running. Yeah. So what Barkley got in trouble was like, let's match them up. Kevin Love, Klay Thompson, Kyrie, Steph, Tristan, Draymond, LeBron, KD. I like our chances. Right, right, right. That's what he was saying. And he got again, lambasted for saying that. And that's when LeBron came back. I ain't throw people through a plate glass window. Yeah. And I ain't come up drunk. And all the stuff that had nothing to do with basketball. Barkley was speaking strictly basketball. So the hate he receives is equal to the excuses that he's been allowed to receive. And I've never really seen it. Everybody else, Kobe got criticized, ball hogging, this and that. But for whatever reason, LeBron has positioned himself, especially with the off-court stuff. He's positioned himself where he's almost, where you can't criticize. He came from Akron. He didn't have this. And he donated this much. And so did Jordan. Jordan donated more money than anybody in NBA history in this documentary. You can go look it up. And so he's never going to get it because he didn't broadcast it. So now we're saying, because you didn't broadcast it, you're not good. You didn't do enough. So you should have broadcasted if you did it. But then if you had broadcasted it, then you were
trying to broadcast everything and just show. Yeah,
so you can't win. So what I want LeBron to do, sometimes what you chase eludes you. LeBron will go down as the single greatest career in NBA history.
Yes.
He had the greatest career. But he wasn't the greatest player. He wasn't even the best player. It's just it. It's a lot of other hip hop artists better than Tupac, but Tupac is the greatest MC ever, not because of skill, not because of impact on the game. I don't know, even in his own era, did he impact it more than Steph? We just talked about Steph. So did LeBron change the way it's played, or did he change the business of it?
I think LeBron's effect on the game is more on the business side of things. So about NBA player empowerment, being able to call your own shots, become a GM, build your own roster, force trades, force free agency, that side of things, being involved in tons of different business ventures that, you know, you're part owner of dang on Liverpool soccer team and the Boston Red Sox. You got.
Well, let me ask you this, Chris. Yeah, last question.
Talk to me.
Did it improve the game? And I want you to think about it. The effects of squeezing the middleman out of the NBA. So the middle class of the NBA, and I'll just throw names in there to give you an idea. He's a special exception, but Udonis Haslams, the Lance Stevenson, the Matt Barnes, Isaiah Thomas. They're not the superstar.
Yeah,
the middle. They're not a rookie. True. So it's this middle tier that's absent now. So what we have is a 37 and a 37-year-old Chris Paul, LeBron, looking like they are improving, not maintaining, but improving. Because the IQ, the level of the rest of the league, not physically, but mentally, emotionally. So your vet is I'm a 19-year-old and my vet 21. Mm. What is he gonna teach me about professionalism? Everybody doesn't have the luxury of having a Udonis Haslam on the team, right? It's different. Udonis Haslam's 1 point a game is different than a rookie's 1 point a game.
Absolutely.
He brings so much more to the table, right? Patrick Beverley's impact is being seen on Minnesota's team, right? That's a middle guy. Yeah. But it's not a lot of those anymore because they if I'm going to pay for 4 points a game, I got to pay my top tier $40 million. So this is the thing for the greats to get more money. It squeezed out the middle class of the NBA.
And I don't think it's not going to reverse itself anytime soon. I think this is a trend that's going to continue. I think the league is going to continue to try to get younger and younger as much as they possibly can. I mean, this whole thing with social media, this whole NBA social media, it's almost there one. So now it becomes, so everything now is designed and strategized with social media in mind. I mean, nearly everything. And so why wouldn't you focus on the younger generation and a younger demographic so that you can bring in younger fans and fans that aren't your typical old head, you know, sports fan? I think that person is becoming less of a priority as far as who the NBA cares about watching.
That's a great point.
Not only is the middle class out, but so is the middle class fan.
That's a different perspective, bro.
No, that's a different perspective, man.
But I tell you, man, I pray because it's a game we actually love. And if I can just, I don't care all the other things. If the quality of play from an IQ standpoint is maintained and the competitive nature is maintained, they can kick, they can do extra point field goals as a 4 point play. And I wouldn't be upset about it as long as we still compete. And as long as the IQ is there, the strategy, and not just this bland, everybody running to the 3 point line, kicking it out, layup at the rim, kicking it out, no post up. We still got to balance the game. So.
Absolutely. Dorian, man, I appreciate you joining the show today, brother. I cannot wait to have you back on again.
No, man, I love it, dog. We gotta do this, man. Cause I love the way you think, and I ain't hyping it up. I just love the way when I can talk without it being attacked as hate or whatever. No, let's have the discussion. It's just a way we can look at stuff differently. And you just made me five different topics look at stuff differently. So I definitely appreciate you, bro.
Yes, sir. Opening minds. Ladies and gentlemen, Dorian Lee.
Oh, man, I appreciate you, man.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge.
Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.